Good morning and good chodesh, everyone. It's good feeling in the air. All the newness, all the yitchatshut. There's a lot. I was just telling the chevra, the man that Mamash ki bechodesh aviv yitzat meretz Mitzrayim. It's like the psukim are dancing in front of us. It's incredible. I know it rained last night, but at least right now it feels like this man is adding up. And it's okay. We still didn't stop davening for rain, so it could still rain. And it's important to take advantage of the time. Last Sunday, we ended off the perek. We finished a very long perek on perek of Hashgacha. But just to let you know and let our chavad are learning with us online right now, we spent a few days last week, and we took about 4 years of shiurim on the SoundCloud page and have now playlisted every shiur, meaning all the Bilvavi are all in one category, all the Reb Nachman, all the Rav, everything is now, also all the Pesach classes we've done in the last few years, it's all under one category, so I'll send the link for all of them, and it's much more Mesudai, so if you want to just go back and see something, so it's all there, and it's exciting, it's really, I think, what's that?
Very exciting.
Yeah, it was also just like wow, Baruch Hashem, you know, like a very good wow. So we'll get to the morning. So it's all there. I think that in Bilvavi there's 50 shirim. I think so. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. Now, I didn't want to start a new topic in Bilvavi today, and then because we're not going to be learning out until after Pesach, until not the Sunday after Pesach, the week after, meaning because. The Sunday after Pesach, everyone's running to Maimunas, right?
Right.
No, it's just an excuse. I'm not going to be here, right?
Saturday night.
Right. So, no, we're not going to be here, so we're only going to be learning really on a Sunday. We're going to be chalal for 4 weeks? 3 or 4 weeks now, yeah, right? 4 weeks, yeah. But it's okay. That's why we made the SoundCloud page available to everybody. It's fully accessible to go in and get everything. But couldn't miss out on at least the last opportunity to learn. So we're not going to learn Bilvavi today. Hope it's okay with everyone. We're going to learn something for Pesach. And I think that it's a very important shiur about taking the word chametz and internalizing this word chametz to make sure we don't mess up, to make sure we don't mess it up. In Hebrew, the word chametz means a few things. One of them, obviously, is, like, what does chametz mean on the most pshat level? What's that? Leaven. So what is leaven referring to? Something that's blown up. Nachon? That's why all the tzaddikim are speaking about, you know, that the avoda is the avoda of the ego, and the cleaning of the chametz, which makes it hard to understand why would we want to go back to our ego after Pesach, right? If it is ego, then like let's just get rid of chametz and not say, okay, listen, just for 8 days, you got to be holy, man. Whatever, take the chol zman, everything has its time. Wow, copy of her sisters went crazy, mamash. Yeah. Hey, Lula. So, that's my line that I say about my daughters and Bina. So, the other two more perushim can be, chametz can come from the language of chamutz. What's chamutz?
Sour.
But there's such a deep understanding is lehachmitz. And lehachmitz, everyone knows, means to miss out. Ichmatzti. I missed out on an opportunity. It says, mitzvah haba liadcha al tachmitzena. That's how we refer to the opportunity regarding mitzvahs that come your way. Don't make it al tachmitzena. Now, what does that mean? Make a mitzvah that comes to you, make sure you don't put breadcrumbs on it? No, obviously not. It means al tachmitzena, don't miss out on the opportunity. And I feel that Pesach, unfortunately, Leil Seder, is one of the biggest missed opportunities that exist throughout the whole year. It's an opportunity for something that the tzaddikim described, the name of the Zohar. It's a night of mochin de gadlus, which means an expansive mindset. as opposed to what we usually work with, which is mochin de katnut, contracted mindset. On a very simple level, it means that what is usually available for you to connect to is completely different ballgame on Leila Seder. It's a night that you can feel with your spouse something you never felt before. Obviously, it's a night to give over to your children something that they would have never had the opportunity to feel. And it's a night for you to discover something that you usually, during the year, never imagined was available, was attainable, and was there for you. So therefore, we're saying like, we have to, that's why Chazal say, Chametz is even b'mashu, which means, even something very small can come, and machmitz, which means even the tiniest distraction can make you miss out on the opportunity. So before we look inside, I would love to hear your thoughts. What do you think, how would you define what's the opportunity that's available for you, for us, on Leil Seder? And I'm already going to tell you that I don't want to hear the answer to become free. Unless there's a very good Rashi that comes with that. What is the opportunity that we have, Leil Seder?
Was jumping up and down with them, and then as the family grew and we made Aliyah and we started having my whole family over, so I was jumping back and forth to the kitchen like I was never in the Haggadah. Now my kids are married and have grandchildren. Well, I've been sick, so I haven't had my own Seder, but I haven't been able to. I just like, the bliss for me is to just like be in the Haggadah from the
beginning
to the end.
That's a beautiful thing. I just don't want anyone to feel bad if they're not able to. But that is a beautiful thing. You know, I have friends that realized like a few years ago, they're like, there's no way that Hashem wants me to drill into my children, you know, that are like 5, 7, 3, to make sure that if they really want to speak about like, you know, that's manishtana, that I have to say, I'm sorry, we have to, you know, and they actually, I mean, I wouldn't say this. I didn't say it should, but they're like, we're putting aside this, you know, Haggadah, the way that it's to us, and we're going to, just for our children's sake, you know, make it the most lively thing in the world. So, but there is an, when you let the Haggadah, when you're able to be with the Haggadah and let the Haggadah guide you the whole night, you're in good hands. You're in good hands. Yes, Lori.
I was going to say, I don't think we've gotten there yet, but I think that when I look at our family history, that Leil HaSeder, it's that connectedness that you're creating with your children. And I see it from, my youngest is 13, my oldest is 26, is turning 26. And I see that how they've evolved, especially my more adult children, how they've evolved in their own connectedness to Hashem and their own connectedness to what it means for them to be religious adults, that those moments, and Leil HaSeder is a significant one, is even those Siddurim that I remember, you know, with utter chaos, with lots of nieces and nephews, but there were lots of games and there were moments even in those Siddurim. And so it creates, over the course of time, family history.
Legamre.
I think, and connectedness for our children.
Legamre, absolutely.
I was going to say connecting to the roots, which is exactly what you're saying. Nachon. Like really,
Nachon.
Where do we come from?
It's the ultimate.
Yeah.
Nachon. So I wanna show us something that Rabbi Nachman says, and Rabbi Nelson says, about what shouldn't become muchmatz, something that shouldn't be missing, that you shouldn't miss out on Seder night, something for parents, adults, grandparents, neighbors. Today we're just going to stick to Jews. Here, one second. No, I have one. Thank you. Did it? Here, one page. Yeah. This is last month. Okay, everyone has? All right, wonderful. Oh, we'll continue the learning. We said it last week for the Refuah Shleima of. You gave me two names last week.
My husband's Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. And your brother?
We don't know.
What's his name?
Shmuel Ben Chaviyenta.
Shmuel ben Chavi Yenta. Okay. Amichai, that's right. Amichai Simcha ben Ilana Miriam. We're going to hear good news. And, Nachon?
Aliyat Nishmas.
Leilui Nishmas.
Rivka Bat Meir.
Rivka Bat Meir. That's
my sister.
Your sister, Rivka Bat Meir. Thank you for reminding me. Okay. Rabbi Nachman is going to say something that's going to be pretty familiar to those that learn with us the Sicha Saran Shir, the Rabbi Nachman Shir on Wednesday. But you'll see how this ties into Pesach in a very, very strong way. And the first few lines may arouse the passion to never want to hear the word Rabbi Nachman again, so flow with it. You're free. Don't let your emotions, you're not enslaved to anything. You're free. Okay. צריך לחזק את עצמו באמונה. So far, so good. We have to strengthen yourself with emunah. ולבלי להיכנס בחקירות כלל. And do not enter investigations whatsoever. ולבלי לעיין כלל בספרים של מחקרים. And don't even go into books of philosophy. רק להאמין בהשם יתברך באמונה לבד בלי שום חקירות כלל. ואף על פי שנדמה לנו שהאמון עם הם רחוקים מחקירות ואינם מחקרים כלל. And even though it might seem to us that most of Am Yisrael are simpletons, they don't delve into those, into certain areas that he told us to not go into. Af al pi chen be'emet kulam hem me'uravim b'chakirot. Everyone's a philosopher. Everyone's philosophizing all day. Whether you read the Sfarim of them or not. It's something that we've developed with whatever defense mechanisms the human condition has had to develop. As we grow older, these thoughts come into each and every one of our minds all the time. Whether you have bekiut in Mora Nevuchim or you don't. It's part of who we are, he says. He says, Kol echad yesh lo, ki kol echad ve'echad yesh lo chakirot, ve'afilu ktanim ba'im al machshavatam chakirot ve'bilbulim. Even kids begin to delve into these, into the confusions and chakirot. Now chakira literally means investigation. And in most of the translations that people have to Rabbi Nachman, they use the word philosophy. What would be another word we could use here for chakira? Not research. But what do you think? I want to find another word. I don't know what it is.
Questioning? Mm-hmm. It sounds like justification to me, actually.
Meaning rationale, you're saying. Uh-huh. Questioning, I think everyone... questioning?
Investigating.
I guess it's part of it, yeah. What's the difference between investigating and questioning? What seems kosher over there? Questioning seems like kind of
because
safer.
We have a question, and it's just used as a question, not... It's not that we're looking for an answer for it.
Uh-huh.
An investigation would be that, okay, I have to figure this out.
And if I don't figure it out, then, right, nachon. That's pretty good, okay.
But also with an intention.
That's what she's saying, yeah, with the intent.
It could be a flip, meaning like you could go either way. The questioning could be like, I have no intention of just questioning, but investigation, like you said, but it could be like I'm investigating because I want to...
Right. I wanna disprove or prove. Yeah.
Right.
Or disprove, you're saying is that nachon. Okay. Aval be'emet. Tzarich kol echad ve'echad lizehem mehod leharchik ha'chakirot midibo. Okay, so that's a very important thing. He says, okay, so you're gonna go through this questioning or this search that we're trying to keep you away from. But if you, at least you could make sure to distance it from your heart. Meaning, if you're going to go through it, keep it in your head. But don't let it come close to your heart. So I have a question. What does that lemaisa mean? What does that actually mean in practicality? How do you keep a chakira, questioning, just here, but you don't allow it to come into your heart?
Ah.
Okay, so let's go with what Yael and probably Ilana was are saying. אבל באמת צריך כל אחד ואחד להיזהר מאוד להרחיק החקירות מליבו ולהשליחם מליבו לגמרי. To completely chuck it out of your heart. לבלי להיות חס ושלום שום חקרן. כלל. Don't be an investigator on any level. רק להאמין בהשם ובצדיקים אמיתיים באמונה לבד בלי שום חקירות כלל. Can you imagine if Am Yisrael didn't believe in Moshe Rabbeinu? Well, guess what? They didn't. And look what happened to that generation. Look what happened. They even heard Hashem's voice. But Emuna is such a delicate thing that unless it's nurtured every single day, Hashem Yitbarach himself can come and talk to you and reveal himself to you on your little Har Sinai. The second that that's not happening in front of you, Mr. Chakran will come and start to play with your mind. And you're going to say, no, it's just my mind, it's not in my heart. And the Rebbe's kind of saying, really? Can you really be sure that you're not going to let these things penetrate into your heart? Now, what's the difference between questioning in your mind and questioning in your heart? Lamaisa, how would it affect your Avodat Hashem? The difference between questioning in your mind and questioning in your heart. What would change? What would you do and what wouldn't you do? Yeah, Chaya?
I think it completely depends on the person.
So just if you want to give a personal example.
I mean, I think some people will just keep going with what they've been doing the whole time, but yet not have a kavana or whatever. It wouldn't mean as much to them. And other people would be like, oh, I'm done. This isn't truthful.
Very good. Can you do both, though? Can you have the questions that don't have answers and yet still go with your heart with Emuna Shlema?
I think
people can. Does it say anything false about the person? Not at all. That's what we're all in. Betach, we're all there. I mean, that's the state that we're all in. But if someone's going to wait, like you were saying, with the intent of either to disprove or unless there's an answer that makes sense to me, then I can't go there. Guess what? It went into your heart without you noticing it. It went like the back door. It tricked you and it faked you out and it got into your heart.
It's like the people who say that they don't want to do this because they don't want to be a hypocrite. If I'm doing this, I'm not doing that, then I'm a hypocrite. But it
doesn't
really—it's not true. Right? Well,
hypocrite to what? Like in whose eyes?
In their own eyes.
Right. That says a lot about right. In their own eyes, about them. It's not about right. Okay. Now he says here, Kikvar. We're on the seventh line from the top. Kikvar zachinu lekabel toratenu akdosha l'dei Moshe Rabbeinu alav shalom Rabbi Nachman says, we already had the Torah given to us. Through Moshe Rabbeinu, וכבר היה לנו צדיקים רבים, גדולים ונוראים, בכל דור ודור. We already had tremendous, tremendous צדיקים. And I will add here, צדקניות as well, in every generation. וראוי לנו לסמוך עליהם בלי שום חקירות. And part of עבודת Hashem is having faith in the tzaddik. Not, God forbid, that the tzaddik is a miracle worker, but in their etzot, in their hadracha, in their guidance. What would happen if you were determined to investigate the etzah that a wise man gave you, right? You probably wouldn't be left with almost anybody. Meaning, at a certain point, you have to say, what's for me, what's not for me? Granted, because you don't want to become, you know, I once called someone, I said, hey, listen, I'm going to a certain tzaddik, you want to come? I thought he'd be very excited. He's like, you know, I really, it's not my avodah right now. I said, why? He's like, I realize that right now for me, the thing is not like going to etzah givers. I just have to cry out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I said, I'll get to that level as well. The real tzaddik that will help us get to that, is only there to help us get to that place to cry to Hashem. That's what they're basically there for. But what would happen if we started questioning every gadol b'Torah? Like imagine, we sat here right now, we would start questioning Rav Soloveitchik. Like we would start to investigate Rav Soloveitchik and say, you know, maybe he came to his Torah and his Hashkafa because he was a rebellious teen and his rebellious manifested through basically saying to the whole world of Brisk, I'm going to figure something else out that makes me not have to follow your derech. That you could come to that rationale. Or you go to Rav Kook and say, why did he really sound so different? And what was his thing? Maybe he just like really loved poetry and we made it all out into Torah, but really he wanted to keep it as like beautiful literature, right? Like you can do this. At a certain point, there's a concept of learning the Torah of Tzaddikim and saying, it is what it is. I'm not trying to philosophize it. I'm not trying to investigate it. I'm letting it be what it is because I believe that they are just sinarot, they are conduits of Shefa, of Or Eloki, and I'm letting it be what it is. I'm putting it there. Because if I don't, I'll keep on questioning their Eitzos for the rest of my life as well. But again, just want to warn everybody, because many people here have been burned by false Mashiachs, that Hashem gave us a cup also to know what's my derech and what's not my derech. We're not saying over here right now, just go and take every word for what it is and just go blindly and move forward. Hashem gave you a cup to say, this is my derech. I trust my heart over here with the etzes of this derech. And from there, to just be fully with what the tzaddikim are saying. Now, and this is a very hard place for most of us to let go of. I understand it. But now let's see why it's so important to do this. The kasher. We're towards the end of this first piece. V'ra'ui lanu lismoch aleim bli shum chakirot ve'leilech b'ikvotam le'amin b'Hashem itbarach b'pshitut u'lekayem torato u'mitzvotav kasher masru lanu avoteinu akdoshim. And what they really bring us to is to follow in their paths and believe in Hashem Yitbarach with pshitut and to mekayem their Torah and the mitzvahs like our Avot HaKadoshim gave over to us. Now, this is what we're talking about an opportunity that should not be missed out in life and bifrat that shows up to us Seder night. Uchsheha'adam holech bitmimut be'emunah levad bli shum chakirot. When a person is in a place that they're walking with tmimut be'emunah, the emunah is real, but it's tamim, it's simple and pure and full, bli shum chakirot, without the justification needs and the rationale needs, yachol iskot, they can merit something. Sheyazor lo Hashem itbarach, Sheyavo li b'chinat ratzon. This is the word of the shiur today. Sheyavo li b'chinat ratzon shehu lemala michochma. Okay. Let's talk about this for a second. Rabbi Nachman says that the prize, the greatest prize in the world, is when a person has passion. When a person has passion, they have much more than any knowledge they could ever acquire. Ein davar haomed bifnei aratzon, Chazal said to us. Nothing can stop a person from when they have a ratzon, when they have a will. I was actually on a Pesach program many years ago, and the siddur that I saw, I picked up, remember it was right before Pesach began, and the siddur that I saw, I opened it up, and it said in Ashrei, in Mincha, right before the words Potech et Yadecha Masbeh Lechon Chai Ratzon, it quoted, I think it was the Mishnah, the Shulchan Aruch, that said that if you don't have Kavana with this Pasuk, out of all of Ashrei, you have to say it again. Dafka, that one. So I started thinking, okay, so what is the Inyan Potech et Yadecha Masbeh Lechon Chai Ratzon? Open up your hands, and Hashem gives, he satiates every living creature, what they want. That's very shallow. No? It's also not exactly true. That's not really what I don't want to believe God gives you everything you want. I want to believe that God gives you everything that you need. So I said, okay, so that's not the Perush. So I started thinking about it all of Pesach. I was just thinking about this. So I thought to myself that maybe what it means is like this. Potach et yadecha, when a person is willing to open up their hands, or Hashem is opening up his hands, that's not the ikar there. The ikar is umazbia lechol chai. How do you satiate every chai, every living person? By giving them a ratzon. Mazbia lechol chai, how? with giving them a ratzon, what are you living for? What do you want? And as long as a person doesn't know what they want, they need to question everything. But when I go beyond that, Rabbi Nachman says, the gift that waits for you is, now I'm going to tell you what your real ratzon is, what you really want. I'm going to give you something that you're going to really want in this world. When we were together on Thursday by the Har HaZeitim, so the, you know, it's the view that you don't usually have. Last year, Rav Shmuel gave us like a little guided imagery of what it would look like to bring a korban. Do you remember he did this? Showed us exactly where the you'd go up from, where the kohen would take it, where the azara was, where the mizbeach was. And I was thinking about it all year, and I was, when I went back to it on Thursday, I was like, wow. And I realized that I don't usually look there. And this time I had said, I have to look. And I asked myself, why can't I usually look there? Because it's as a kohen, it's very hard to look at that place, because it's exactly, it's the place where you're supposed to be doing something, and the exact, almost the exact opposite is happening. So it's very hard to look in there and see the exact opposite. I forced myself because of you, because of Rav Shmuel this time, and I looked and I realized, and over there I was thinking about this one thing. Why are we davening so much? We're begging Hashem the Geula, and we're dafka looking over there. Why aren't we standing in the Eitam, for instance, or somewhere else? Because in the Beit HaMikdash, something happened there. What would happen? We learned this a few times already. There's something that was called He'arat HaRatzon, which means the illumination of Ratzon, which really means, in English, a person finally figured out what they really wanted in life. So you walked in the Beis HaMikdash, and you had all these questions, whatever it was, but when you came out, something about the light of the Mikdash and the presence of the Shechina there, when you came out, your Ratzon was refined. You knew what you wanted. You didn't know what you wanted because you came to it because of Chochmas. That's not what brought you to a realization of what you wanted in life. You came to it through a place that's above that, that's Emunah, that guards the heart. The Tmimus and Pshitus of Emunah brings you to understand what you really want in life, what you really want in this world. But that usually it's not accessible to us. We think that only after we understand everything, we'll understand what we want and what we don't want, but you don't. You're just disqualifying and you're putting pros and cons on things. You're coming to a decision. You're not finding out what you really want. Rabbi Nachman says, with emunah pshuta, like this, without the questions and all the questioning on the level of trying to make something justified, he says, what's waiting for you is yavol l'bchinat ratzon. Who you are becomes a ratzon. You are a ratzon. And the way Rabbi Nachman says it in another place is that a person is not defined by who they are. They're defined by what they want. I'm defined by my ratzon in this world. I'm not defined by accomplishments or, God forbid, blemishes. I'm defined by my ratzon. My ratzon, my will, my passion, my desire takes me to a place that's higher than chokhmah. Now that, he says, is available, that's waiting for every person, when they're willing, no matter what, to trust the words of the tzaddikim and saying, I'm going towards the place called Emuna, Pshuta, Bli Shum Chakiras. Now, if he could see, said this hundreds of years ago, to say this, to learn this after the 6 million, can you imagine what the schar is? Can you imagine what kind of ratzon you develop? Because there's a place, even in Shemayim, probably, I think that they're saying, you know, those that questioned and everything and they weren't able to come close to me after the 6 million, no one has a taina on you. But to those that even after the 6 million are still willing to go to a place of emunah pshuta, can you imagine? But what you get is not just, oh, you made it. What you get is you live a life of ratzon. You know what you want. And you live through what you want, through your desire. And guess what? What you want is holy. It's not just what you want. I get to live by what I want. I want things that are not that important. No, what you end up wanting is emet. What you end up wanting is good for people. You walk into a room and you look around and you see people you're not close to. You just want good for every person. Can you imagine living a life like that? This defines who you are. This is my ratzon. To get there, emuna pshuta. Because I can't really want good for every person through chokhmas or chakiras, because I'll start asking myself, do they deserve to have all the good that I want for them or not? Just like I do to myself. I don't know. I want them to have shalom bayis, but she should really work on certain things before she should be privileged to have shalom bayis. Like you became, you know, the decisive, you know. This is where the road of ratzon takes us to. It's a very high place, and it's a place that's spoken about a lot in the writings of Rabbi Nachman. We haven't spoken about it so much. Rabbi Nachman says throughout Likutei Moharan, Ha'ikar hu aratzon. The ikar of life is figuring out what you really want in life and sticking to it. So if that's the truth, I want to do whatever I can in order to get there. Now, we haven't even touched Pesach yet. You realize that? We're just speaking about a concept right now. But you can obviously see where, not he, but where we're going to take this to, okay? So we have enough time. Okay. So again, I want to read the second paragraph. Kshadam holech bitmimut be'emuna levad b'li shum chakiros yachol iskot she'yazor lo Hashem itbarach she'yavo libchinat ratzon shehu lemala michochma. This place of ratzon is higher than chochma. Ki be'emet chochma dikdusha hu lemala me'emuna. But he says over here, holy chochma is even higher than emuna. Now let's explain this. Did he just contradict himself or not? It sounded like, right? But when he says chochma dikdusha, you know what he's using? You know what he really means? He means you have enough wisdom in you to know to choose to chuck your brain. You understand? You have enough seichel inside of you to know, what I'm going to use in order to get connected. I'm choosing not to think. Chochmah d'kedusha. I'm choosing not to think. Can you imagine that? Reaching that place? Takes a lot of wisdom. You need a lot of wisdom, though, to make that choice to not think. Okay. Can you already begin to see Pesach yet or not yet? Well, did we think a lot while we left Egypt? If we would have thought, we would have stayed in Egypt.
But many did.
Huh?
Many did.
And what happened to them? Exactly. You're just strengthening what we're saying. If I think too much, what'll happen to me? Gamarti. Seder night, he's not even saying it, it's just us jumping there because we want to just see how this relates to us in our avodah towards Leil Seder. He says over here, Aval afal pichen, anachnu tzrichim livli lelech b'chochmos b'chakiros, rak ben emuna levad, ki emuna hu davar chazak meod. Emuna is so strong. It's stronger than you think. It's stronger than all those things that you think you need in order to have emuna. It's stronger. V'azay k'sholech b'emuna levad bli chakirot v'chochmot, azay zocheh lavo libchinat ratzon shehu lemala afilu michochma. What does that mean? That you come to a place of ratzon? Second to bottom line in this paragraph. Dehainu sheyizkeh sheyeh lo ratzon muflag chazak meod elav yitbarach beishtokekut nimratz meod. Ad shelo yeda ma la'asot klal migodel ha'ishtokekut. Did you ever have an emotion, you ever have a sensation where you didn't even know what to do with your burning desire to the Ribono Shel Olam, to Torah, to Kedusha? You're so passionate that you want to just be someone that's fully with the Ribono Shel Olam and doing good in the world and being a beacon of light and a shlicha ne'emana for His word, for His Dvar Hashem. So much you wanted to do. And you don't even know, there's so much passion, you don't even know what to do with it. Did anyone ever have, actually, if you said yes, you probably sound very haughty, so just in your mind, just go there, okay? Everyone's had those moments. What stops those moments from continuing? What cools off those moments? What are some of the thoughts that come about that?
Distractions. I have to do this, I have to do that, I need to do, I should.
Mm-hmm. I should be doing this, I should be doing this. Rabbi Nachman says that when you really go with Emunah the whole way, you live in a state of a burning desire, and no thought can come and start to make you walk slower and make you stay in Mitzrayim. It's living in a state of Ratzon, which is like the ultimate. Now you're sitting here thinking, how would I be able to do anything? Would I function? Would I sound normal? Would I sound crazy? I know, it's the same. We all have these things. Nachon, everyone said, well, how could I talk to people? Can I go to shul? My children will think I'm crazy. All these things. When it's real, it finds its place in everywhere. When it's not real, people can't relate to you. When it's not real, and it's not coming from a holy place, you start acting like you're a meshuggah, in a frenzy. You got to take on the whole world right away. When it's real, the burning desire, the ratzon, to be close to Hashem and to be a free person in the world, it finds its way in the most real and natural senses. What do you need in order to hear that statement and be okay with it? Trust the process. No guarantees here. There's no guarantees. The only guarantee is that if it's real, you trust that this longing, desire, to be the Baruch Shalom that I went through Emunah Pshuta, will work out. Not only will it work out, life will become one giant moment of meaning. And the experience of being alive will be totally fulfilled with more and more longing to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
Having a little difficulty. The way you describe this passionate thing, I had something like that once, and it had nothing to do with wanting to be in this world. It had everything to do with me wanting to leave my body.
Mm-hmm.
And I
was... You know who else was like that?
I'm afraid to know.
Nadav and Avia. So thank God you dropped that trip.
I wasn't allowed, but I got this.
Baruch Hashem.
No, you're not going there.
Baruch, thank God.
I didn't want to go, but it was this overwhelming.
Thank God.
It was years and years ago, but I never.
You're here.
So I'm having trouble understanding what you're saying about this passionate Ratzon.
If Hashem wanted you to not
and to be here.
If Hashem wanted you to not be here, you wouldn't have been born.
Right.
Simple. Don't philosophize that statement. It's a very simple statement. If Hashem didn't want us to be here, we wouldn't be here. If Hashem didn't want other nations to exist, everyone would be Jewish. These are just simple facts of life.
Right, but I'm trying to understand this passionate thing and at the same time this passionate thing to be in the world.
I don't want to judge your level of dvekus. I don't want to judge anyone's levels of dvekus. Again, what we're saying is like this. When the emuna is pshuta and the tmimus, and you choose to not investigate, and you're able to marchik from your heart the questions that you know will only bring you down because there's no answer in this world. For instance, the 6 million. There is no answer that can come and calm your heart. No such thing. Nor should there be until Mashiach comes, and even when he comes, maybe there won't be. Maybe that's not for the world of answer. I don't know. But when it's emuna the whole way, b'tmimus l'pshitus, what's waiting behind that curtain is the holiest and healthiest ratzon to be close to Hashem with the given reality that I have right now. With the people that are in my life right now, this really ties into Bilvavi, with the surroundings that I have right now, it's mamash shleimus with every detail of my life. It's shleimut. It's living a life of shleimut with the situation that I'm in right now. Through everything that I have, through every relationship, there's ratzon of being a kiddush Hashem. Okay? We're good so far? Any questions? No? Okay, so let's continue. Let's jump right now. Let's jump down right now to Reb Nassim. V'zeha, because now we just, because we don't have that much time, and I want to really bring this home to Pesach. V'zeh, this is from Likutei Halachos. V'zeh ha'inyan shel yitzias Mitzrayim na'aseh v'chol dor v'dor v'chol adam v'chol zman. What happened with leaving Egypt, all the details and the emotions that were awakening in Am Yisrael while they left Mitzrayim, they reawaken every year when we celebrate Yitzias Mitzrayim. So let's just think about that statement for a second. What are the emotions that were waking up? What was being felt while we left Egypt? Hashem said, go fast. Chipazon. What did we do? Not question. We went out fast. That's how we have matzah. That's why we think about this. Bless you. Think about this. Every time you eat a piece of matzah, your consciousness is, I'm eating this because of emunah pshuta. Do you know what your Pesach would be like? Do you know what your Leil Seder would be like if you looked at matzah and you stopped thinking mechila of how your bubby made it and everything like this, and it was just about how did this even come to be? This came to be because of emunah pshuta. Because Jews left fast and didn't question, and they ran out of Egypt. What do I need to run away from? Without thinking too much. What place in my life do I simply just need to run it? Not because I'm being a cop-out, because it's clearly Mitzrayim. That's it. Not because I'm trying to run away from really dealing with something. Matzah gives us the koyach. It's called mechla de mehemenusa. It's called the food of emunah. That's what it's called. Food of emunah. Why? Because it's basically the reminder of that Jews believed in Hashem. And they left fast. Oh, that's why they left fast? Oh, hence matzah. He says this happens every single year. Every single Pesach. Through the Zman, this is what is coming above the surface again. זה העניין של יציאת מצרים נעשה בכל דור ודור ובכל אדם ובכל זמן. כי בכל עת שהאדם משוקע חס ושלום בגלות הנפש, כל אחד כפי שנתפס בעוונותיו ובתאבותיו, as long as a person has sunk, God forbid, in the gullus of the soul, גלות הנפש. Now, גלות הנפש literally means I'm so far from what I really want. That's what galus hanefesh means. I'm in galus. Where am I in galus? Where it matters most. With who I really am and what I really want in this world. And as long as a person is in galut hanefesh, they're in the exile of the soul, each person on their own level, due to whatever brought them out, took them away from that place, יש לפעמים שאדם משוקע בגלות הנפש כל כך, עד שאי אפשר לו לגלות לו שום עצה קדושה איך לצאת מן החושך והגלות. There are people that are so far gone that you can't give them any advice as to how to leave places of darkness and go into a place of light. כי כל מה שיתנו לו איזה עצות יבואו החולקים על האמת ויקלקלו אותה על ידי עצות רעות שלהם הנמשכים מעצת הנחש. This is powerful. He says, you know, when you say that someone's snaky, snake eyes, what does that usually refer to? What are we usually saying about them? You're like a snake. What does that mean?
Why? Not trustworthy.
Ah, he says, what's the first bad eitzah a human being ever got? From a snake, right? The first time man got a bad eitzah before. What is the resemblance of a snake today? That after you hear from God what to do, he says, you know you could outsmart. You know you could outsmart God. Vayitem ke'elokim. That's what the Nachash says. Every single time, he's saying there are people that have sunken so low into being in a galut hanefesh, which means so far from their nefesh, so in exile from what they. Listen, I'm thinking about it right now. Like, obviously, we have a bunch of Jews and two Arabs that are trying to sell their ticket by Tuesday, right? By the elections. And I'm not going to speak about the Ishmaelim, I'm going to speak about the Yehudim right now. Do you think that most of them really know what they want, or they've already come, the conclusions they have come to, they really think that this is what they really want. But it's more because it's come from such a foreign place. Meaning it's, if you really sat them down and took them out of Galut HaNefesh and you brought them closer to their neshama, for real, do you think that the people that are saying today what they're saying, leaders of parties, would all of them would stay the same? That they would say, no, this is actually what I really want in this world? Maybe yes, maybe no, but that's a good way to, that's a good thing to think about. The majority, what?
I think that when people are so caught up in what they're, they can't see anything else. If you show them something else, then it really starts questioning, and then
nachash comes.
It's like it's internal doubt, I feel like. As soon as you said the nachash, I was like, I feel like that's internal doubt that everybody has within them.
Right. But there's also external doubt that we're surrounded with as well.
Yeah, but the internal is the hardest one to deal with.
Nachon, Mehod.
Here
he's referring to external, it seems, no?
Why? Galut HaNefesh, I think, is internal.
No, he's saying the Galut HaNefesh is a state that you're in, but the Eitzas are external, he says. Ki kol ma sheitnu lo eze etzot, yavou acholkim al haemet v'ikalkelu ota. Others will come.
As an internal,
you know what? I don't know. Could be.
I once read a paper about something in Tehillim, and it says that the Ramach Tover is Oivim.
And it's inside.
It's both.
Yeah. Yeah, but we know that he actually did have physical Oivim. Yeah.
But he also.
Nachon. I don't know if it matters here, but all it means is that snake, poison, Eitzes. That's it. Aval. כשהשם יתברך רוצה לחמול עליו ולגאלו, when God wants to have compassion on someone and redeem him, ולהנטותו לתחייה, and to direct him to a resurrection, להכניס בו התעוררות לתשובה, to insert within him an awakening for תשובה, לבל יהיה נדחה חס ושום, that he shouldn't be pushed away, God forbid. אז השם יתברך מאיר בדעתו עצם האמת, קודם שמגלה לו העצות הקדושות. ועל ידי עצם האמת, זוכה לאמונה. This is so beautiful. You know what the moment of compassion is? Is when Hashem puts within us the essence of truth. The essence of truth is something שאין חולקין עליו. There's no, how would you say it? There's no, yeah, it's something, it's non-disputable. You can't touch it. So Rabbi Nachman says, when there's a hit'orerut, when we long for emes in such a way, Hashem is rachmanis on us, and He gives us something that's non-disputable. What's non-disputable? I would say two words, really. Ahava and emuna. Like, those two things are non-disputable. When it's there, when it's felt, no one can touch me. No one can touch me. If I grow up in a home that I know my parents believe in me and love me, no one can touch me. No one. For 210 years, I didn't have Ahava and I didn't have Emunah as a slave in Egypt. So therefore, Hashem needed to do something really, really amazing before I left. What did Hashem do? Before I actually left Egypt, to instill within me Etzem HaEmet. So I would. What, the Makos were for the Egyptians, even though some say it was for Am Yisrael too. What did Hashem give me before He left? Right before we left? Yes. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. That's what we just learned in this Shabbos. He said, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, I trust you with time. You trust me with time? Why? Because I love you. I had that. When did we receive the Parshas HaChodesh? At what point in the history of leaving Mitzrayim? Before the 8th Makkah. After that Makkah was Arbeh Choshech Makat Bechorot. We got that while we were already in Egypt. So Rabbi Nachman is saying, when Hashem really wants to just fully have compassion on you and guide you to that place because He sees how much you're longing, but you don't even know how to really long, He inserts within you etzem ha'emet, the essence of truth, something that's undisputable. In the story of Yitziat Mitzrayim, it was Parshat HaChodesh that was given to us right before we left. Through Parshat HaChodesh, we knew Hashem believes in us, trusts us, and loves us. That was enough for me to choose to not think too much and run out.
you only get this Etzem HaEmet if you have the Ratzon. I mean, this has kind of been one of my tefillahs lately, because I keep saying, like, we're begging for Geula, but we're really a minority of the Jews, and how could I want Mashiach to come when the rest of the world hasn't gotten this light yet? Like, I don't want to leave them behind. I don't want Mashiach to be here and them to be like, okay, it's over. So I keep asking Hashem, give everyone else the light, meaning we all have it because we got it. It's a gift to, you know, to get awakened to Hashem's light. But most people don't. And so it kind of feels a little scary to ask for Geula when they happen. So
because you think that the same thing will happen to the 4/5?
I don't know what will happen then, but even if it's not a physical, meaning if you're not going to get to be close to Hashem's light, that's the ultimate. Everyone should get to have that. So if Mashiach's going to come right now, and so the tefillah more should be for that etzem ha'emet, but that's my question. Do you get it only if you have the ratzon, or do you get
or is it just far? Or is it just a matnas chinam, you're saying?
Yeah.
Let's look at what he says again to see how he understands this. אבל כשהשם יתברך רוצה לחמול עליו ולגאלו ולמתותו לתחייה, להכניס בו יתרות לתשובה, לבל יהיה נדחה חס ושלום, אז השם יתברך מאיר בדעתו עצם האמת קודם שמגלה לו העצות הקדושות. ועל ידי עצם האמת זוכה לאמונה. What do you think? What did you say, Shoshana?
That he's giving it to them.
To who?
To everybody.
Everybody.
Everyone.
It seems here there's no exclusions.
And
just like
that, they zochel le'emunah.
Then it's, yeah, then you have a privilege of, oh, the world of emunah is in front of me. I'm choosing that. Hashem can't force emunah onto you.
No, but he can force an enlightening of the heart, of the soul.
That's exactly the gift. He could give that to you. But even that's not enough. Meaning, it's enough to then know what to do with it, hopefully. But even then, the Nachash can come and say, like, maybe, like it did in the according to the Midrashim, the Muslim died in the Mizman HaMakas Choshech. Yeah, Chaya.
You don't have to be open to it in order for it to...
I'm sorry?
You don't have to be open to it in order for it to penetrate?
That's what Miriam's saying, right? That's what Miriam's...
So
that's your question.
Right, but they don't even know. I mean, they're not close to it. They don't even know that it exists.
So that's the sadness of it.
But that's
how do you spark that?
It seems like this is the spark, right? Like, if the curtains are closed, I don't even know that there's an outside. So first Hashem has to open the curtains, and then they see that there's an outside. There's a whole other, right? But like that initial, like the opening we find with the eye of the needle, right? So Hashem has to do that also for them.
You know that it obviously wasn't enough when we left Egypt, because if so many stayed behind... Right, so Reb Nassim's going to say even that wasn't enough. So, the real Etzem HaEmet only came to them after they actually left Mitzrayim. When? What's that? Probably Kriyas Yamsuf. Yeah, meaning even that wasn't enough because again the Bechira is still there. But I mean, I don't know how to answer that question.
But there were people who stayed, so obviously it wasn't enough for.
Right.
Everyone, there's a peace in every state, right? It's
Nachon.
For everyone.
Nachon. Well, I'm banking on what the Rebbe said, that no Jew will be left behind. At this time around, no Jew will be left behind. It'll be kulam yitzu. That's what I'm banking on, because we don't want another geula that doesn't involve everybody. We're not interested in a geula that's just for certain people. Right? As happy as we are to be living here, we want everyone to be here with us. It's not just we're shlemim with the party by just being here alone. I mean, think about it with Aliyah on a Geula Pratit level, right? Ask your question. Mm-hmm. What do you think the answer is there?
I mean, I kind of don't see it as people not getting left, but I don't want to see it that way.
Right. So you have a perfect tefillah ready for you. That's great. That's what's right in front of you.
I think davening for you. Part of what's bringing the Geula, I think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
Down for that is part of the Talitha.
Meaning, if I made a tefillah right now, what would it be? It'd be Ribono Shleim, as much as, you know, I want to be zocha for Etzem HaEmet, which would then enable me to just go with the Emunah Pshuta, which would then enable me to know what my Ratzon is in this world. You and I know that my Geula and my Ratzon is not Shalem until others are sharing it as well. You know that, Hashem. We know this. We're establishing it right now. I'm establishing it right now. And that's really that's really, really the most beautiful way to march towards Leila Seder. That if I know that something is available to me, which is the Gilui Aratzon, I run out, I look at matzah, I'm like, wow, thousands of years later, I'm eating a piece of cardboard because someone had emuna pshuta in you. What am I, what's my matzah that I'm leaving for future generations? What's my matzah that I'm preparing for future generations? It's emuna pshuta, tmimus, and pshitus. Listen, there's a lot more we could do with this piece, a lot more, but I think that having a tefillah that we prepared and having all these pieces in place makes the hachanas for Pesach worth it on a spiritual level, and it gives us all the kuach to make sure that we won't machmitz, we won't miss out on the opportunity that Leil Seder has for us, which is for each and every one of us to find out what we're really made out of, to find out what we really want in this world, and while we're finding out that we really just want you, Hashem, we're begging Hashem to mashpia be'etzem ha'emet in the whole world as well. Because that's what we want. We want everyone to be part of this. And when we find out that that's who we are, do you know how much we like ourselves more? You know how much more we appreciate being in our own presence? We're like, oh my God, I want to just go out on a walk with me. I want to have coffee with me. Tell me about yourself, right? Alevai. All right, shikoach. Shikoach, atzameach.